Today we are continuing on in our series of Increasing Faith, and as I shared with you last week, this graphic that I've chosen has several significant understandings or things that we can consider. As I shared with you, Jesus, in his own words, he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed and you plant it, it will become like a huge tree. The birds will come and nest in it. And so we see the changes, huge changes that result as a result of us planting our faith. He also said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be cast into the sea and it will obey you. And so huge transformations can take place in our life and the circumstances of our life as a result of our faith. And then also from Psalms 1, when it speaks about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but walking according to the word of God, you will be like a tree planted by the living water, and it will bear its fruit in its season, and it will be productive, and it will prosper in its season. So we want all those things to be changing us in our lives and changing the circumstances that we're living in as a result of us walking by faith. Before I go on to this week, where we're talking about dealing with fear and doubt, you know, as I introduced this week, last week I said there are two huge obstacles for us walking in faith, and that is fear and doubt, and we'll talk about that today. But let's review just a little bit about last week as we talked about, first of all, throughout the scriptures, God said the righteous will live or shall live by faith. It's like that's the way you're going to relate with him is by faith. And there's reasons why. First of all, because it's all about a relationship of trust. And we could interject the word or use both words, faith and trust, basically the same. It's about a relationship with God, and it's a relationship based on trust. That's why you have faith in God. Faith in God enables us to go beyond the natural, and we're going to see an experience of that today, going beyond the natural, doing something that would otherwise be impossible. And then a trusting response to, as we saw last week in Hebrews chapter 11, first of all, awareness of the unseen. We realize God created everything that we see. It came from the unseen. When God spoke, it came to be. And so we realize that there is an unseen realm, and we develop awareness of that, and that enables us to receive things that would otherwise not be able. You can not naturally acquire something other than it comes from the unseen realm. And unless we have an understanding of that unseen realm, we'll forever be limited in our abilities to walk with the Lord as he desires. And also, to obey God's word. Faith is to trust him enough to do what he says to do and believe it's going to be the best doing what he says to do, no matter how difficult, no matter how much of a challenge, or no matter how much opposition. We'll see there's opposition as a result of walking with God too. And faith to receive the promises of God. When he speaks a word to you, as we saw throughout the scripture, again, examples in Hebrews chapter 11, like Abraham and Sarah, beyond their years of the ability to bear a child, and yet God promised Abraham descendants innumerable through Sarah, through their son, through Sarah, through Isaac. And then even he says, now sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was able to process through all those impossibilities to be able to receive that promise from God because he trusted God and he trusted God's word. And then also to see forward. We see, again, from Hebrews 11, we were just going over Hebrews 11 last week, where these people of faith that were recorded in that chapter in Hebrews were looking forward to something that they never actually possessed here on earth. They were looking forward to a city built by God, not built by man. They were looking forward to a country that was different than in this world. They were considered themselves to be aliens here in this world because their citizenship was in heaven. So looking and seeing forward and seeing beyond. And then here was the challenging thing. It enabled them to endure great persecution. You know, as Charlie was sharing the Apostle Paul from Ephesians today and the things that the Apostle Paul suffered as a result of Jesus, as Charlie shared with us, he didn't back down. He kept pressing forward no matter the opposition, no matter the persecution, and that was because of his trusting relationship with God. That was because of his faith in God, and he was willing to die for it. In fact, he did. And so we see this kind of a relationship with God that's based on trust enables us to have faith in God because of his faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness to us enables us to be full of faith towards Him. So, on with the fear leads to doubt, dealing with fear and doubt. I would encourage you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 33. This is one of my favorite examples when speaking on faith, because you see immediate results of walking by faith in the Word of God, or in this case, in the Word of Jesus. You also see the immediate results of fear leading to doubt, and what happens when you doubt God and doubt His Word. We just see, like I said, you see it immediately. It's not over a process of years or, you know, a length of time, but it's just immediate. So it gives us a good opportunity to see an example of what a difference it makes when we are walking according to the Word of God, or when we are walking by faith in what the Lord has said. So Matthew chapter 14, and starting with verse 22. Immediately after this. Now, I don't know if you're ever enticed the way I am by the Scriptures. When it says immediately after this, it makes me want to go back and see after what. It's like, what happened before this? And if you were so inclined to do that, we're not going to deal with it in detail today, but you see that Jesus just fed the 5,000. Jesus went off to pray. Jesus sent the disciples on their way in a boat across the lake, and they're having trouble. But so, verse 22 again, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. So let's look at some of the details of this story. First of all, I would call this story Stormy Night on the Lake. All right? They are battling the wind and the waves that came up. And when it talks about fighting heavy waves, the actual meaning of those words are grievously agitated. Grievously agitated. Those waves are breaking over the side of the boat. That's what kind of, it's not just a little, "Oh, there's white caps out there," because there's a little bit of wind, but this is huge. Great waves, grievously agitated waters, water breaking, waves breaking over the boat. That's the kind of circumstances that they are among in the midst of their going across that lake. Then we see Jesus coming, defying the law of gravity. Okay, gravity would say that when you're on water, what do? You sink down into the water, you have to swim, you have to tread water, because otherwise you sink. And so, but Jesus is suspending the law of gravity, walking on water. Now we see from the Scripture, Job chapter 9 and verse 8, speaking of God Almighty, it says, "He alone has spread out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea." So even in that, even if they had understanding of that Scripture, they would see this guy is more than just a man. This truly is the Son of God. And you see them expressing this over, especially, you know, when he gets in the boat, sees calm. "You truly are the Son of God." They're able to see that even through Jesus' action. Now, Peter requests permission to do the same. "Jesus, you're walking on the water. I want to do that. And so if it's you, Lord, say to me, come." And Jesus said, "Yeah, okay, come." The word of the Lord was, come. I grant you permission to do what I am doing. I grant you permission to do the impossible, to walk on water. And so Peter walks. He walks on water. He is experiencing and expressing that which is beyond the natural. Why is he doing that? Because he trusts the word of Jesus. He sees Jesus doing it, then he trusts his word when Jesus says, come. And as a result of that, he is doing what we would call the impossible. That is defying the law of gravity. He's walking on water just as Jesus was. However, this is what happened. Peter saw the wind and the waves, and he was terrified and began to sink. Now, in his sinking state, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus, it says, reaches out and grabs him. And then he asks him the question. He says, why did you doubt? Now, there's several things that I want us to take a look at in his experience. And I'm going to label this section diverted attention. Because that's really what happens here in the situation where Peter is absolutely doing something that would otherwise be impossible. And he's doing it in the midst of the circumstances. They haven't changed at all. But something changes. What is it that changes? His attention is diverted. Let's look at this. First of all, Peter's faith was based... Okay, here's the lessons to be learned. Peter's faith was based on Jesus' example first, and then in his word. Jesus was walking on water, and Peter saw that. You know, we could... look at the scriptures that speak about, you know, that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Anything that we see Jesus doing, we should aspire to that ourselves. Anything we see in the scriptures, him laying hands on the sick, we should aspire to that ourselves, because the scripture says it is God's destination or destiny for us. We are destined to become conformed to the image of Jesus. So Peter's aspiring to be like Jesus was by Jesus' example. Jesus was walking on water. So Peter says, I want to do that too. He's so excited about what Jesus was doing. And we know kind of the impetuous nature of Peter, as we see throughout the scriptures, him, you know, do something or say something without thinking first. But because of his nature, he was excited to do something that was just really out of the ordinary and very unnatural, beyond the natural. And so he sees the example of Jesus, and then he also responds to the word of Jesus, because he said, can I? And Jesus said, yes. So Peter was able to do the impossible. He was able to do beyond the natural as a result of his faith in the example of Jesus and in the word of Jesus. He trusted Jesus when Jesus said, yes, come. And so he was able to do the impossible. In the midst of his doing the impossible, the circumstances had not changed. The storm was still raging. In other words, before Jesus came and appeared on the water, they're battling against these waves that are flowing over the boat, that are washing over the boat. They're battling against that wind and those waves. But in the midst of that, while that's still going on, Peter requests permission to walk on water. The wind and the waves did not bother him. At that point that Jesus said, come, Peter got out of the boat and started walking on water. So the circumstances had not changed. It wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden the waters just mellow out and there's no more wind and the water becomes glassy, because now you can walk on water if it's not wavy, right? So it wasn't like the circumstances changed in the middle of the wind and the waves. He was able to step out and do that, what would otherwise be considered impossible. But here's what happened. Fear and doubt was the result of divided attention when Peter changed his direction of his attention to the circumstances. Now all of a sudden, he felt like he was unable to do what he was doing because it was so stormy out there on the sea. The wind and the waves, he saw them, and he became terrified, it said. And as a result of him becoming terrified, now all of a sudden he no longer had faith in the example and the word of Jesus. He doubted. And immediately when he doubted, he started to sink. He diverted his attention off of the words and the example of Jesus, diverted his attention to the circumstances, what's going on around me, and all of a sudden the circumstances became more powerful than the word and the example of Jesus. The danger to Peter was not the wind and the waves, was it? The danger to Peter was not the wind and the waves. The danger to Peter was, first of all, his diverted attention. He took his eyes off Jesus, got him on the circumstances. That was the dangerous thing. The danger to Peter was when he diverted his attention, that led to fear. Now he became afraid. And that fear led to the littleness of his faith. Certainly I cannot walk on water when it is so windy and so wavy. Right? I mean, all of a sudden, it's like what he was doing in his own mind, although he was doing the impossible, it changed from being possible because Jesus said so to being impossible because the circumstances dictate that I cannot do this. He was full of fear. That fear led to the littleness of his faith or to his doubt. Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" It's because he became afraid. So fear leads to doubt. Now here's the thing that happens, though. In the midst of his failing, Peter humbly admits his failed attempt. We see that when he cries out, "Lord, help me. I can't do this. I am sinking. I need to be rescued." Now, it's interesting to me that he doesn't respond this way. That instead of crying out for help, he starts swimming, saying, "I got to get back to the boat. I can't do this. I got to get back to the boat," trying to do it on his own. Now, to me, that would probably be, I'm just being honest here, that would probably be my response. You know why? I would say, "I got myself into this mess, and who am I to call out on the help of God when I was the one that asked to do this? I was the one that got out. I was the one that failed him. So I'm the one that's got to work my way out of it." Yeah, I see you agreeing. I know why you're agreeing. That's our human nature. That's our rugged independence. It's like, I got myself in this mess. I'll get myself out. When all the while, the example that we have of Peter is, you know what? Just humbly admit your failure. And you know what? Jesus is there to say, "Here, I'm here to help. I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue you." And immediately, he grabs hold of Peter's hand, and Jesus rescues Peter. His grace and his mercy abound. Here is one of the biggest lessons, people, in this example of walking by faith. And even in the midst of your walking by faith, you miss it. Your faith turns to fear. Your fear turns to doubt. Your doubt turns to failure. In the midst of your failure, you cry out to the Lord, and he's there to rescue you. He's there to help you. I think there are too many times when we go, I want to step out of the boat, but I'm afraid to step out of the boat because what if I am in the midst of doing the impossible and all of a sudden I am overcome with fear and doubt and I fail? And so that whole point prevents us from ever stepping out of the boat in the first place. We're afraid of the failure before we even start. Now, if we could get enough courage to say, you know what, I might fail, but if I'm failing, Jesus is there to rescue me. So I'm going to give it my all and press for, I believe that's why Jesus even said, "Come, Peter, come, let's have a test. Let's try this out. Let's allow you to have an experience where you're doing the impossible, and in the midst of the impossible, you fail. But in the midst of your failure, you get to experience my mercy, my compassion, my grace. It abounds." Peter was in the midst of failure. He was sinking. He cries out to the Lord. This is the way the Lord does not respond. Fold his arms and say, "You got yourself into this mess. You get yourself out." He doesn't do that, people, and he won't do that with us. Don't be afraid to step out to do something that's beyond the natural when you have the word of the Lord to do that. That's the key. You see the example of Jesus, you hear the word of the Lord, the permission, come, walk, do this experience, and don't be afraid to do that when you have those things, his example and the word of the Lord. Step out in faith, and even in the midst of that, if you fail, he's there to rescue you. Don't be afraid of stepping out because of fear of failure. Now, it does take a humility. Like Peter said, you know, he cried out, Lord, save me. It does require humility to admit it when we have a failed attempt. But because of his grace and his mercy abounds, he rescues Peter. But then he goes on to challenge him as well. Jesus challenges Peter. He said, why do you have so little faith? Didn't I give you permission to come? Didn't you see me walking on water? Didn't I give you permission to come out and play? I said, yes, come. And so why did you doubt me? Well, Jesus, because all of a sudden I saw how windy and wavy it was. You know, and the likelihood would have been Jesus' response, if it had been calm, could you have walked on the water, Peter? It's like it still would have been impossible, right? So it's like it's beyond the natural. You have to trust my word and trust my abilities in you. So we need to always be careful that we are not so much considering the danger that we are exposed to as we consider the power of Christ that gives us the ability to do things during the midst of that danger. The power of Christ by which we are upheld. Now here's a passage of scripture. I'm putting the whole thing up, but it's the latter part of verse 1 and verse 2 that I want to share with you from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now, that running with endurance, it talks about being tripped up by sin. And I wouldn't say so much this fear and doubt is sin, other than when we divert our attention away from the Lord and put more faith in something else. Maybe I should flat out say, yes, it is. When we're putting more faith in the circumstances than we are in the Lord, it is a sin that trips us up, that no longer allows us to go on to continue to do what we're doing, or as in this case, it's talking about running the race with endurance, the race that God has set before us. But here in verse 2 is specifically what I want us to see. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. If Peter would have kept his eyes on Jesus rather than the diverted attention to the circumstances, he would have continued walking in doing that, the impossible, beyond the natural. If he would have kept his eyes on Jesus, and as it says here, the champion, Jesus is the champion who initiates our faith and also perfects our faith or completes our faith. So Jesus initiated faith in Peter by his example, and then by his word, by Jesus' example of walking on the water, and then Jesus' word when he said, yes, come. He initiated faith within Peter. If he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus, his faith would have stayed strong. I can do this. I can do this. I see the example, and I heard his word. I can do this. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. Also, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, too many times we just kind of throw out this verse, but we don't think enough about what it's actually saying when it says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything. Everything that he gives me permission to do, obviously, is the intent there. It's not just, well, I can go and walk off the Empire State Building and defy gravity that way. Well, not if he hasn't said, yes, come. You know, but so here we see, you know, we can do everything through Christ, and it's because he gives us the strength to do it. Here again, we're being challenged by that word of the Lord that came this morning about walking by the Spirit giving us the ability or the power to fulfill our gifts or to complete the tasks that He has given us to do. It says here, we can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Christ was giving Peter the strength, the ability to walk on that water until Peter diverted his attention. I'd like you to look this passage up with me, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from their Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Okay, what I want you to see in this, first of all, it talks about asking for wisdom. But really, we could put any word that we're asking, anything that we're asking for, we could replace the word wisdom with that. Because actually, at the end, we see that at the end of that passage when it says, not to expect to receive anything from the Lord if you're not walking in faith or receiving it by faith. So it's not just wisdom that we ask for. Anything that we ask for, this needs to be the way in which we ask. It says, be sure that your faith is in God alone. It says, do not waver without any doubting. What happens when we doubt? When we doubt, we're putting faith in something different than God. And that's what He calls divided loyalty. Or we could go back to Peter, diverted attention. All of a sudden, Peter had faith in something different than the words of Jesus. His faith was in the circumstances. His faith suddenly turned from what would happen if these wind and waves consumed me. So that fear led to doubt. And as a result of his doubt, he became unsettled and literally tossed about. That's what happened with Peter on the water. It's so interesting how these two verses relate with one another about walking in faith and receiving from God by faith, and then what happens if you doubt? You're unsettled, you're tossed about like the waves of the sea. That's what happened with Peter, and that's what happens with us too. When we divert our attention or we divide our loyalty, we're putting faith in something else other than God. And typically it is the natural circumstances of our life. We're looking at our financial situation. We're looking at our health situation. We're looking at the economy of the world. We're looking at the moral decay of the world. And all these things start to mount up against us, whereby we say it's impossible for us to fulfill the will of God because of the circumstances. And we divert our attention. We divide our loyalty. And rather than putting faith and trust in an almighty God who gives us His word, and we can put faith and trust in His word and walk and do beyond the natural, suddenly we're limited by the circumstances around us. We have divided our loyalty. We have diverted our attention. We end up doubting and expect that person not to receive anything from the Lord. We don't want to be a people that are walking in fear and doubt and not walking in the things that God is challenging us with. People, we have days to come as a church, in this community, in this time of life, in this culture, in this time of history, whereby God is going to call us out of the boat to do things that we would otherwise be unable to do, except He gives us the example and He gives us His word, and He's waiting for us to respond. If we will respond in faith, we will do things beyond the natural, not because we're such a good people, but because He has given us the ability. We can do those things through Christ who strengthens us. But if we're just sitting back saying, you know what, we don't have the funds to do that. You know what? My lifestyle does not give me the time to do that, to exercise my gift in the church. What? Add that to my schedule? No way. It's not going to work. We sit in the boat is what we do. We say, I'm comfortable here. Yeah, it's real windy and real wavy. There's all kinds of storm going on in my life still. But I'd much rather be here than out amongst the wind and the waves. I'm just going to stay here. And the words of Jesus to us would be the same as what he said to Peter. Actually, you know, it's interesting. Peter was the brave one who got out of the boat. In the midst of his failure, Jesus said, why did you doubt me? Why so little faith? What do you think he would have said to the rest of the guys in the boat? Why didn't you guys try this? Where was your inspiration? Oh, I just steer the boat, Jesus. I got to be in the back steering this thing. That's my job. I'm staying in the boat where it's comfortable. And so we've got to be able to be willing to hear his challenge and respond to his challenge and not put greater faith in the circumstances. Well, let's continue on. The fear factor. There used to be an awful show on TV, eating worms, living in with bugs. It was awful. You know what? I think wasn't the Dodge Center Fire Department on one of those Fear Factor shows? Anyway, forget that. Let's deal with our own realities and our fear factors and get rid of the fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. There's the promise of God for when we're stepping out of the boat, even if we have trouble and fault in our faith, he's there to help us, to hold us up with his victorious right hand. So let's not be afraid. John 16:33, talking about the circumstances around us in the world. Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So there's going to be storms, people, while you're living here on earth. There's going to be many trials, many sorrows, but he says, don't be afraid. He says, have peace. I am here. I have overcome. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? No fear, because God doesn't abandon us. The Lord is our helper. And so we can step out and do those things which are beyond the natural. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 through 9, I felt like I needed to put this up because there's another entity that desires to put fear into our life to render us useless when it comes to the things of God, and that is our enemy, the devil. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Be strong in your trust relationship with the Lord. That's what's going to make you strong. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. So stay alert. So I want to encourage you in closing to stay alert. First of all, not diverting your attention. When obstacles come up that try to cause you to fear the things that God would have you to do, you know, you're walking down the sidewalk and you come upon someone that's standing outside and the Lord just prompts you to go ask if they need prayer. No, what will they think of me? They'll think I'm a weirdo. They'll think I'm a Bible thumper. They'll think I'm a Jesus freak. They might, but you know what? They might just have a prayer concern that they would say, wow, you mean God put it on your heart to pray for me? Something small, but something bold. But don't divert your attention from the word of the Lord to where he says, come, walk on water with me. Let's go see if we can help someone. And instead you go, no. I might sink in the midst of doing that. I might pray for them and they don't get the answer to their prayer. It's amazing. You know why I know these things? Yeah. I've been sitting in the boat myself at times and saying, no, I don't want to do that. I might fail in the midst of that. And so here he's saying to us to be bold. Keep our eyes on the person and the words of Jesus. That's the cue, or that's the key for not diverting our attention. Keeping our eyes on the person and the works of Jesus. And not divided loyalties, whereby we are putting our faith in something else other than the Lord. And again, as I said, usually that's on the circumstances that are going on around us. We put our faith in those rather than our faith in God. We divide our loyalties. Yeah, I want to be faithful to God, and God is trustworthy. He is faithful to me, so I want to have great faith in Him. But there's all these things going on that I don't think I can overcome those things. And again, faith to stand against the enemy's attack. He will. Scripture says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. John 10:10. And so His intent is for us to walk in the abundant life no matter what the enemy's attempting to do. So we resist him firm in our faith, or firm in our trust relationship with God. We resist the enemy so that he is not dictating us in our lives. The scripture says we have been transferred or delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's dear Son. The enemy has no power to control you in your life or to steal, to kill, and to destroy things in your life. Resist him, firm in your faith. So stay alert to the enemy's activity. And rebuke the enemy when he comes and attempts to destroy your life. And then faith to do beyond the natural. We want to be a people that are, when God says to do something, we don't limit him by our greater faith in the circumstances. We say, yes, Lord. In fact, we're even asking permission from God to do the impossible. That's where we need to go. You know, we could go on and on in these passages of Scripture about fear, and like John, 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we are not given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So, you know, there is so much in the Scripture about don't walk in fear. Fear leads to doubt. Doubt will cause you to fail in the midst of your attempt to do the impossible or do the things that God has said. So let's continue to walk in faith and deal with our fear. Deal with the fear factor. Get it out of there so we can continue to do those things that God has enabled us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The faith to do the impossible. The faith to do the impossible. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Faith to do the impossible because of a trusting relationship with you, Lord God. Because of a trusting relationship with you, Lord God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God, faith to do the impossible because of your word, Lord, because of your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The inspiration of your word, Father. Faith is the result of your word to do the impossible because of your word, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.